Some legal experts are warning that strip searches are being inappropriately used across the country, mostly targeting petty drug offences. It comes as the New South Wales government has defended the use of strip searches on children after it was revealed girls as young as 12 had been strip searched. But the state's police minister, David Elliott, is standing by the practice, despite police data showing two-thirds of searches do not find anything at all.
I've got young children, and if I thought that the police felt that they were at risk of doing something wrong, I'd want them strip searched. Having been Minister for Juvenile Justice, we have 10-year-olds who are involved in terrorism activity.
That's the New South Wales Police Minister, David Elliott, speaking there. Peter O'Brien is a lawyer. He's been representing people across the country in cases involving claims of unlawful police searches. He's the principal at O'Brien Criminal and Civil Solicitors. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Let's just address that comment you heard there from the New South Wales Police Minister, referring to children as young as 10 being involved in terrorism activity. Why is that pertinent to the question of strip searching teenage girls?
Well, look, it's an alarming comment. It is really completely out of touch. I think it is an example of political bravado in the manner in which he's brought his children to bear on this issue. The facts and the research shows unequivocally that children who are strip searched are likely to be traumatised, that it is an extremely invasive, humiliating and distressing activity, and that children who go through this activity are routinely commenting to those who either represent them or speak to them afterwards that what happened to them was extremely distressing and traumatising.
Is it reasonable to compare individuals involved in alleged acts of terrorism with teenagers walking into music festivals?
Well, no, it's not at all. Those are two very incredibly discrete areas that are a million miles apart. I don't know how many 10-year-olds he could suggest have been strip searched in the course of a terrorism type operation, but I suggest that there would be less than one probably. But to have said this in circumstances where the research is very clear that there is, police are calling out for guidance on what is a strip search, what they can do, and the circumstances in which they can do it. And for the police minister to say something like, as he said yesterday, that if his children were at risk of doing something wrong, he'd want them strip searched. Well, that isn't even an accurate assessment or categorisation of the law. In fact, if police were to conduct themselves in that manner, they would be operating illegally. So what he's doing is sending a message to the police, which is a mixed message, it's a confusing message, and it's a message that has been sent to police officers when there is a lack of clarity as to what they're entitled to do and when they're entitled to do it.
I think it's fair to say many listening this morning will be surprised that this, in fact, takes place in Australia. The figures in New South Wales suggest that more than 100 school-aged children were searched over 3 years. Across Australia, how widespread is this?
Well, it's increasingly prevalent and it's an increasing problem. The number of strip searches in the last 4 years has doubled in New South Wales, and although there is lack of transparency and accountability as to the statistics and figures, because a lot of these things are just not accounted for at all in many states and other jurisdictions, the fact that it's doubled in New South Wales is probably testament to it happening across the country as well.
You've been helping sue police in cases of allegedly unlawful strip searches. How many cases have you run like this? How many approaches are you getting from people that have had these experiences?
Dozens, and the number of cases across the country coming to my office is increasing. This is in the context of both adults and children being strip searched, and all of them are describing the humility, the embarrassment, the intrusion, where police have yielded nothing from the search.
Reading this morning a story in the Guardian newspaper about a young woman who was subjected to a strip search as a 15-year-old girl. She says a female officer jiggled her breasts, describes the experience as intimidating, traumatic. Her parents were not present, had not even been notified that she was being held by police. How on earth is this sort of thing happening?
Well, first of all, that's unlawful and it's a sexual assault. if that is happening, and it seems to be happening more regularly, regrettably, then those people should be properly compensated, because police officers are not entitled to touch any part of the genitalia of any, or the breast area of any girl or woman. And if that is happening, and it seems to be happening more prevalently, then action should be taken.
Is it happening more to girls than to young boys?
Well, the statistics would suggest that more young boys and more young men are being searched than girls and women. But the troubling statistics that have been emerging from New South Wales in particular, where there is some effort being taken to record this sort of thing, although not quite enough in terms of the accountability and transparency of how often these sort of searches are conducted. In any event, we are seeing an increase in young women, particularly those at festivals. But vulnerable young people around the country, particularly in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, and particularly in people where there is a endemic poverty and social marginalisation, they are being harassed by police on an increasing level, and strip searching is part of that.
The police position in New South Wales, or the government's position in New South Wales, appears to be that this is working. Again, here's David Elliott.
34% of them have been found guilty. One in three have been obviously committing an offence. So if your kid was the one buying the drugs off one of those 34%, I think you'd be pretty happy that they got found out.
He says this is working.
Well, in 2018, at Splendour in the Grass, 550 searches were conducted, 143 strip searches were conducted, and less than 9% of those yielded any find at all. Generally speaking, very small quantities of prohibited drugs. In the case of the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission report and investigation into the 16-year-old girl who was strip searched that came to notoriety some weeks ago, that same police officer during that operation conducted 19 strip searches and only yielded one find. So a 5%, 9% sort of ratio for strip searching doesn't indicate that it's working. In fact, the contrary.
I do want to ask you about that particular officer, because there'll be people across the country listening this morning who have sent their children off to music festivals, who will send their children off to music festivals over the course of this summer. This particular officer, when I read the extract from the New South Wales Law Enforcement Conduct Commission, which was looking at the strip searching that took place at the Splendour in the Grass festival, he seemed, on my reading of it, not to be clear on what he should have been doing. And in fact, I think said on questioning that he'd found this an interesting learning experience. Why do police not know what they're allowed to do?
Because there is a lack of clarity in the law as to what exactly a strip search is and when exactly those circumstances enable a strip search to occur. That officer, as many are, right across the country, and that lack of clarity isn't only in New South Wales, that lack of clarity exists in the legislation for police powers in relation to strip searching right across the country. There isn't a conformity across the country, but there is a lack of definition in terms of what it is, and police are calling out for the clarity.
So you're saying this is a national problem. What's the solution here? What's the pathway?
Well, there needs to be a better and clearer definition of what a strip search is. There should be a prohibition in the touching of the body, which is expressed in legislation. That's not expressed in legislation throughout the country. It should be limited to a visual examination of a person's genital areas, including order, and it should expressly prohibit the ordering of someone to lift their testicles or breasts, or putting them in a position where they're coughing and squatting, and that type of activity should be expressly prohibited.
And can you just be clear for us this morning? I think this story is surprising many of our listeners. If a police officer is doing some of the things that you've just described, could they find them subject to lawsuits themselves? I mean, are they, in fact, breaching
the law? Well, the state will become vicariously liable for their actions. And if police are conducting themselves in the manner that I've just explained that they have, or that your example from the Guardian newspaper demonstrates, then they will bring about an action against the state. And, I mean, it was yesterday turned my mind to what this is actually costing the state. I estimate that just in New South Wales alone, and this probably is replicated throughout the other jurisdictions, these sort of strip searches where there is illegality associated with the conduct of the police in conducting the strip search is costing the state somewhere between $7 and $10 million per annum just in payouts and legal costs associated with settlements and law cases.
Peter O'Brien, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Peter O'Brien is the principal at O'Brien Criminal and Civil Solicitors. I should also note that we did put in a request for an interview with the New South Wales Police Minister, David Elliott.